Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know that elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit stopguardianabuse.org.
Good evening, everyone. This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this, of course, is the TS Radio Network. Our show tonight is Whistleblowers, and it's brought to you in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblowers Summit that takes place annually every July in Washington, D.C. This year, of course, we had to do everything online, but it still was a grand success. Our panel at the summit is in defense of the family, so we not only deal with guardianship, but we deal with what happens in these family courts, divorce court, child custody court, all of this stuff, all of which have been removed from state, civil, and criminal courts. They have them sit outside in their own tribunals, these administrative systems. They are not subject to the law. They do not follow the rules of evidence nor the code of civil procedure. Charges can be levied against you for which there is no evidence and none is ever asked for, but they are accepted by the tribunal as having been spoken from the mouth of God. Families are being torn apart. People are being devastated both financially and psychologically and emotionally. Children are paying the highest price, having been weaponized by these tribunals and pitted against one parent or the other. We have an epidemic of parental alienation in this country caused by these corrupt systems. Our guest tonight is Marianne Petrie, and she has personal experience in this. Having been caught up in this system, she paid the ultimate price. She lost her children, but she fought back in a grand way, including a book called Dismantling Family Court Corruption and Why Taking the Kids Was Not Enough. This is a system of profit. Your children are being used to generate profits. One or both of you, parents, is being devastated financially and drained. And it's all orchestrated. It's all planned. And with that in mind, let me bring on our guest, Marianne Petrie. Marianne, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you bet. Now, your book is available on Amazon, and I do have a direct link to it in the show promo, so you can go right over there and pick her book up. And I do advise everyone to pick this book up. This woman actually got into Superior Court and won as a pro se litigant. Who ever heard of such a thing? Anyway, Marianne, give us a little background here on what happened, what brought you to all of this and eventually to the book.
Well, it all started with us getting divorced and co-parenting very well until a third party entered the picture. And the third party entered the picture as I set my ex-husband up on a date and not fully realizing that this woman actually also worked in the courthouse. I just wanted them to get dating experience. However, she moved in 2 weeks later, and 7 months later, they were married rather quickly.
Wow.
And that was, I just wanted them to get dating experience.
Yeah.
And so what happened was she had stated to me on the phone, I was talking to his now wife on the phone, and she had said, out of the blue, she said, I know a lot of people in the courthouse, and I'm friends with all the judges. And I didn't know what to make of that at the time. And then she had said it again. It was about 2 months later. They both were standing on my front porch. And she said it again. I know a lot of people in the courthouse, and I'm friends with all the judges. And she also mentioned she knew a lot of the state troopers, which were just up the road.
Wow.
And I felt threatened, and I slammed the door in their face.
Yeah.
That's how – then it just got worse as time went on, because if I ever needed to discipline one of the kids, not all the time, but I had to call the father. And as soon as he picked up the phone, he just started screaming, yelling at me that all the problems were in my house. And she was screaming in the background as well. And I just hung up the phone. And I was totally on my own as far as I was concerned, raising these kids, when they really needed to hear a male voice say, you better listen to your mother. And
right.
As I said, we were co-parenting very well. Then what had happened was, throughout the years, I eventually remarried. I don't think he liked that very much. And that's when they placed a false allegation with CPS of emotional abuse on me. And that created a big disaster. And what that did was, I had to be suspended from my job as a registered nurse of 23 years. I had extensive experience on a cardiac floor in the ER. What they did was they took a fully functioning human being that was helping others and humanity out of the workforce to now just sit and punt, because I couldn't even get unemployment because of this indication, until I had to go before a judge, a CPS judge, and be cleared of this indication, or you can't work. And this is something I found very unusual, that my own attorney did not even know that. They thought I could get some part-time job as a home health aide. Well, that it doesn't work that way, because you will come in contact with children. And
right.
Because of the Child Protective Services laws, you can't be around kids. So I couldn't even work at I couldn't even work at Walmart because until you're cleared of this.
Yeah.
And then what happened in the meantime, as I'm waiting for a hearing with a CPS judge, the ex came in with an emergency petition to remove the other kids, along with the caseworker that was on this case, where she only did a one-sided interview.
Oh, wow.
And she did not, right, she did not interview my parents, who were there when she waltzed through the door. And the first thing out of her mouth, isn't it unusual that she said, if you're indicated with this emotional abuse, you're going to lose your job as a registered nurse, was the first thing out of
what?
Her mouth. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I hope you went after her. Yes, that's one of the things on all of this that bothers me. These people do and say these things, and I mean, it's egregious in almost every instance. How arrogant and obnoxious they become, and they'll misquote the law, which is a crime. And they'll misstate what their authorities are, and which is a crime. And they'll appear without a warrant, which is also a crime. But they're never held accountable for anything. Nothing.
No.
And that
also,
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. Go ahead, Marianne.
Okay. Yeah, the thing that I found disturbing was that she went to the school and talked to my children, pulled them out of their classes, and which embarrassed my one son, because he's very, school oriented, and he's very embarrassed to be embarrassed to be pulled out, and then without a witness in the room, she interrogated him.
Oh, God.
And then, sent him back to school. And she had done that twice in 1 week. She had done that to me twice in 1 week. And luckily, my husband was laid off at the time, and he was listening to her. The first time she stayed at my house was 2.5 hours of screaming at me and talking
what?
To me like I was stupid. Yes, she stayed 2.5 hours. And
in your home?
Yes. I had to tell her.
Geez.
In fact, she came to fall. She came 2 days later and stayed again. She overstayed her welcome. And I had to continuously say, don't talk to me like that. I'm not stupid. I'm a registered nurse. Don't talk to me like that. And all she could talk about, believe it or not, was apparently why I wasn't happy with the amount of child support I wasn't getting and a pension fund, when we really should have been talking about the children, this alleged emotional abuse indication that was going to happen. She was more concerned talking about child support and a pension fund. She knew financial information on my ex-husband that really she should not have been privy to.
Wow.
And later, when I read all the, her notes, it was all coming from the ex-husband's side.
I see.
Which I found interesting, yes. And so in the meantime, as I was saying, that he came in with an emergency petition to remove the kids, and we went before the president judge, who decided to be Pontius Pilate that day and recuse himself. And I thought that was very strange, because 2 years prior, the ex was pulling some type of motion. It was a HIPAA violation type of thing, that they wanted records from the psychologist and my meetings with the kids and the psychologist. And my attorney was fighting that because it was a HIPAA violation. But this judge decided to rule in their favor back several years prior to this. Yeah, so he rules in their favor, but then recuses himself. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, you're recusing yourself now. You should have done that 2 years ago. That's really unethical, if you ask me.
Yes.
And so,
yes,
because what he did was essentially send us down the river to a family court judge. And people, I mean, it would be great to mediate. I always encourage mediation as much as you can. But there are some people you cannot mediate with if they're not, I don't know. Well, I don't want to say
they're
the
not
word.
in a negotiating mood, and the last thing they want is negotiation. Yeah.
Right. Because the ultimate goal of all of this was to make me a non-custodial parent to pay child support. He wanted $1,000 a month. That's essentially what happened. Was that, to sum it up, was we got in there, the judge ordered to us to set up visitation. Well, he had no intention of me seeing those kids. So he basically hid them from me all summer for 3 months. And my father and I would drive over to pick up the kids as we were ordered to do, and the lights were on, no one's home. So we'd go to the state police to have them fill out a form, only to tell us that the DA on call said there's nothing they can do because, you know, there's a custody trial going on. And because he didn't have a felony or he wasn't convicted of anything, they really couldn't do anything to him. But every time he went in there and you're trying to file contempt on this person, and the judge would not even entertain it because, as crazy as this is, the judge and the opposing attorney were in a working capacity in the courthouse for several years. And then when the judge was there, finally as a judge, we tried to recuse him, and he refused to recuse himself. So I essentially could have walked in there with a Hollywood team of attorneys and still have lost because they were BFFs.
Yeah. Yep. And that's the way it works, too, in those courts. We've heard that so many times. Excuse me. The complaints about what passes for our judicial system, especially when you get down into these administrative tribunals, which is what family court is, and you get down into them, the law does not apply on any level.
No.
And the only time it does apply is if they invoke it and use it against you. Then, for some reason, it has merit. But the rest of the time, you can't use the law. You're ruled by statute, regulation, and code. And these are all, you know, arbitrary, fictional constructs meant to deprive you of your rights and your property and whatever else you might have. And we hear this all the time, Marianne, about the blatant misuse of the bench. And yet nothing is done. Nothing is done. You cannot have tens of thousands of people across the country voicing the same complaint or the same type of complaint about these so-called judges and somebody not be investigating it. They won't even look at it. They won't, well, that's the judicial branch and we can't get into it. Yes, you can.
Yes.
You can get into it. And they make their own laws, they make their own rules, make up their own doctrines, they do whatever they want to do, and nobody says anything. And at the crux of all of this are these children who are getting batted back and forth like a badminton birdie, and nobody seems to care. Were you subject to any of that where they have friends who have set up family counseling or parenting classes and you have to go to those, but you have to pay through the nose to do it? Did you have to go to any of that?
Yes, the attorneys decided in their infinite wisdom to set up co-parent counseling. And I had already been I had been going to a counselor to deal with job stress and the ex-husband and all this mess. And with that allegation that or indication, that caseworker called me mentally unstable. So when she did that, not only did that, the judge run around that, he continued to call me mentally unstable for years. And even the co-parent counselor was somewhat on my, I would have to say she was on my side because she saw him in action. Because we were talking to her and he like was just very irritated and like he whipped off his hoodie and I kind of scooched to the other side of the couch because it's like, I don't want to be near him. And she told my attorney that he was volatile. Okay, so why wasn't the judge told he was volatile?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the part that concerns me.
And Marianne, what qualified her to, did anybody ask her what her qualifications were to make the observation that you were mentally unstable? What credentials did she have that would have qualified her to make that statement?
Well, the caseworker, I don't know, decided to make that statement of her own volition. She only had like some type of child degree, a degree in child elementary. She didn't even have a psychology degree. Oh, yeah. So what I did was, as I was waiting and punting to see my kids, as he was withholding them from me, he was in contempt three times. They didn't do anything. They just let this go all summer. And what I did was I notified the governor of the state, and I let him know what was going on. And I thought, well, maybe nothing will happen. But actually, his secretary called me, and she wanted to know details and everything. Now, I had been in contact with the head of the caseworkers, and I waited a week, and I gave him a call, and I said, what happened with the governor's phone call? And he had told me that there had been a huge meeting and that none of the caseworkers were to call anyone mentally ill or mentally unstable unless they had a degree in psychology with a PhD. And I said, well, okay, what did you do with that caseworker that now I can't work? I can't even get unemployment benefits because of an alleged indication because you are guilty until proven innocent. He said they took her out of the field to remove her from people. I almost died. I said, so then, in other words, you promoted her, right? He said, no, we did not promote her. Now, when she was on the witness stand, she did say she was promoted.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sitting there with my attorneys going, you're promoted, but your boss just said you weren't. So is it
right. Perjury?
And it was just like, it just turned into an unbelievable mess because I went through the trial with the CPS judge and I was exonerated. And my lawyer got me through that, but bear in mind, that was an eight-hour day. Can you imagine paying a lawyer at $300 an hour to get you through that? And
we
won because there was not enough substantiated evidence. He said, none of the pieces of the puzzle are fitting together. I'm missing something here. And Dad was on the stand with his dramatics, crying, saying, I just wanted to keep the kids safe. And I was like, I don't believe I'm hearing this. This is a completely different person that I used to know. And then, as it turned out, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking I wanted to keep the kids safe. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Thank God, because it's like because I even had my counselor come and, you know, we went into this small room and I told my counselor with my attorney, and my father was there. I said, he's up on the stand crying. And my counselor said, oh, God, they're going to win. And then I started breaking down because it's like, oh, my God. But luckily the judge saw through him. Thank God. Someone had a brain.
Good.
And
yeah.
I was exonerated. I called my workplace up. I said, hey, I can come back to the ER. I can work. They were all happy. And my boss said, I'm going to put you on the schedule for next week. And then 4 days later, I know, I was so happy. I was out in the garden. I was gardening. I get this phone call from another caseworker. And I picked up the phone. She was incredibly nasty. And she says, I just want you to know you're being indicated for emotional abuse on the second child. And I said, you go call my lawyer. And I hung up on her. And I called my lawyer. I said, you're not going to believe this. And so a week later, she calls back again in a very completely different demeanor and informs me that, yes, I'm being indicated for emotional abuse on the second child. And I said, for what? What is it now? And she said, well, you took away his Xbox and you wouldn't let him ride his bike around the block.
Oh,
now,
no.
God, no.
You monster.
Well, I didn't tell you the first indication. The first indication was that, okay, it was so blown out of proportion. The oldest had a singing engagement at the library that she tells me about at the last minute. And I'm the last to know, and I'm not invited. And I said, why am I not invited? Well, it's a public place. Why can't I go listen? No, Mom, you can't come. No, Mom, you can't come. I said, well, I'll make a phone call. No. And on top of that, she also wanted boys up in her room for 2.5 hours, and that was a contention. And I had said, we're not doing that. So that's how that first indication came about. Then the second one is the Xbox and the bicycle.
I see.
And I'm like, okay, so we're going to have to waste another day in front of a CPS judge to get cleared of this. However, the bad part was throughout that whole summer, I wasn't able to see these kids. And it takes that long to get a hearing set up with a CPS judge, which would have been December 4th. And the hospital was now saying to everyone, because of the Child Protective Services laws, that you have to have your child abuse clearances in, your fingerprints, and your state police background, and you can work. Well, I got everything else done, but, hey, I didn't have that child abuse clearance because my hearing was beginning of December, and they were going to start firing people towards the end of November. So I got fired. So I got involuntarily terminated.
I see.
And yes. So and bear in mind, everyone at work knew what was going on. They knew what was happening to me. They
mm-hmm.
knew I was getting screwed over. And they were very sorry to see a good nurse leave. It's just very hard. I won't go
yeah.
into that. That was just so sad. But so I go through another big day with a lawyer, and within a month I was cleared, and my attorney wrote me a letter saying that I was unjustly targeted by CPS. I'm glad I have that letter. But other than that, I couldn't find work after that because they knew that there were more kids. And you know how people are calling in indications
yes.
and allegations and accusations, one right after another. Who would hire me back? The hospital wouldn't hire
yeah.
me back because they don't want to go through that again.
Yeah.
So I'm cleared of that.
Well, you are right about one thing, Marianne. The thing about people today, and we're being so carefully trained, will snitch on anybody. And most of it turns out to be vendetta phone calls. They don't like you for one reason. You don't look right. You weren't nice to them. You know, some weird ass thing. It could be they just saw you and didn't like your looks. And they'll call in some report on you. The new American snitch. That thing about if you see something, say something. Well, I see a lot of things, mm-hmm. but they don't require me snitching on people and creating problems where there are none. And there are too many people that get an adverse kind of pleasure out of doing exactly that, knowing they caused you trouble. And you may be a total stranger to them, but they'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
And so that's just ridiculous. The idea that somebody can call in anonymously, levy charges,
right.
they don't have to give their name, they don't have to do anything, but somehow you're already guilty. Well, they called in. Why would they call in if you didn't do it? Well, because you set up this idiot program. That's why. Go ahead.
And I think that has to change, because I think if you're going to call in an allegation, then you have to be forced to give your name. I think that person would
yes.
think twice about calling it in. And I heard
yes.
that 70% of the calls that CPS gets are just false calls
yes.
like this.
Yep. Yep.
And so concentrating instead of worrying about, you know, Johnny getting beaten up by their mother or father or foster parents, they're going after these false chases that are nothing.
Yes. Yeah, they go
and
after who they see
kids.
As vulnerable. Yes.
And what
you
also
mentioned
kind of,
getting in trouble, causing emotional trauma, I guess, whatever, to your oldest child about boys being in the bedroom for 2.5 hours, and you said no. I raised 2 granddaughters until the day they turned 18. A boy better not take one step up those stairs or their head was going to roll back down before the rest of them came. No, I didn't allow that. That is improper. Those kids don't need to be in bedrooms alone. That should
no.
not happen. You stay out there where I can see you. We were kids
right.
once, Marianne. You know.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. I mean,
yeah.
no, my mother would not have tolerated that. And the thing that was kind of disturbing
no.
was when my daughter was arguing with me about things like that, she said, well, I'm going to go call a judge. And I sat there on the couch going, call a judge? Where'd that come from?
Really? Yeah. Yes. Things have changed, Marianne. I was at 15. I left home. I was the youngest child in the state of Iowa at the time to ever divorce my parents. And I had to have all kinds of people there backing me up from the school everywhere. I couldn't just make these accusations and then determine that somehow they were the truth and, you know, you just had to live with it. I had to prove everything I said, but it's not that way now. And it just, you know, I don't know, this thing of being able to levy charges, whether it's an attorney, a guardian, a CPS agent, an APS agent, to be able to levy these charges. No evidence whatsoever, or maybe hearsay, and nothing to support it. Why are we allowing that? Go ahead.
This is terrible because, I mean, oh, no, you're fine. It's just that there's so many people that are trying to get their kids back based on false accusations, and then they put these kids into foster care. And we're lucky that did not happen because my son had said to the caseworker, that he stated, I have no problems with my mother. There's no problems with my mother. And he just clammed up and would not speak to her because he was so mad. He was pulled out of his class.
Yeah.
And she was bothering my kids at school again, a different caseworker. It's like, go away. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, what I didn't realize was I was racking up arrears and not paying the child support because I couldn't work because of the child protective services laws.
Right.
And this gets weirder as it goes on because, as it turned out, I was being hauled into contempt support meetings. And the officer said, I'm going to tell you right now, he sat down, poor thing. He said, I'm going to tell you right now, this is all BS. I said, oh, okay. He said, well, he said, do you have $700? I said, no, I can't work. I haven't been able to work because of the Child Protective Services laws. And apparently they don't understand this. And then they started going through support contempt hearings, multiple. I mean, we're talking maybe once a month. I think one was twice a month. And it got to the point where it was Holy Week. Yay, Holy Week. So I'm here at a support contempt hearing, and I'm in a contempt box with a bunch of guys. And I sat in the back, and the one guy said to me, I don't know why I'm here. I'm all caught up. I have no idea why I'm here. And I'm thinking to myself, I pity all of us because this judge is crazy. Mm-hmm. She's crazy, and she's nasty as the day is long. As I had been before her in multiple de novo hearings, de novo is a Latin term for new beginning. I'll say it's a new beginning of hell. Okay.
Wow.
And her behavior is I don't know how you describe her behavior. She's very controlling, very narcissistic, just very nasty, a very nasty individual. And so we were waiting for the judge to come out, and the bailiff was walking around, and he saw my ex's attorney was sitting there, and so was my ex, and he even brought his parents. Yeah, grandma and grandpa came. And so the bailiff walked over to him and said, what are you doing here? And the attorney just leaned over and put his little chin on his palm and said, we're just here to observe. And I thought, it's Holy Week, and you're here to observe me get shackled up like Jesus and hauled off to prison. They call it jail, but let me tell you, it says prison on the building, okay? So the judge called me out first, and some of my coworkers had said, I don't know if she's a man or a woman. I used to work, you really couldn't tell. Who knows? But she said to me, do you have $2,000? And I said, yes, there is a pension fund worth that I've been trying to get that my attorney won in Superior Court. It's sitting there, but he won't pay it. And she said, well, if you can get a hold of that within a month, then you won't go to jail. So I did everything in my power. I went to a magistrate judge who was really out of his jurisdiction. There was nothing he could do, but his attorney showed up to fight me on that, even though that money, it was only $2,200, but that would have kept me out of jail. I even emailed the ex, and I said, look, this isn't going to be good for the kids. They're in school. This is not going to be good for them, and I would not do this to you. Could you call off the dogs? He would not call it. No response. In fact, prior to that, my son wanted to sleep overnight, an extra night, and I would take them to school, and he went to call his father to let him know he wanted to do that. And I heard the father yell over the cell phone, "If you stay overnight, I'm going to send your mother to jail, and you'll never see or hear from her again." So
That
scared him enough to go back. Yeah. And
right.
So what happened was I couldn't gather the 2,000, and I thought, well, I'm going to try to tough this out and show this judge I'm not going to give her this $2,000. I'm just going to rot in prison and show her. But my problem was, when you're being hauled through family court, I had to go on an antidepressant and an anti-anxiety. Sorry, but I had to. It was just so traumatizing. And to have your kids be hauled away, taken away from you, with the opposition side laughing, clapping, and cheering in a courtroom without the judge slamming down his gavel, truly frightening. And then you're walking down the hallway, and you see the ex's wife crying her eyes out, and I'm thinking, you're calling me mentally unstable? One minute you're laughing, clapping, and cheering, and now you're crying down the hallway.
Why was she
There's
crying?
Wrong with this. I don't know, but I can give her something to cry about. Yeah. But I was numb. I mean, I was just numb. I just walked out of there like we just couldn't believe what had happened. And this judge, as I said, we had tried to recuse him. He just would not recuse. He was just a horrible, he was just a very lousy judge. He was a three-ring circus judge. One minute he was talking about child custody. The next minute he's talking about child support, which wasn't anything for him to discuss. Then he's talking about a pension fund. This is how it was basically in every court situation with this judge. And then, would you believe it or not, he passed. And
what?
He had some illness. Right, yeah, he passed. And I thought, well, okay, I'm bouncing all over the place.
The Lord
Sorry
works in
that.
Mysterious ways. Yeah.
Well, the bad part was, what happened was, okay, this is before I went to prison. Okay, so I was hoping to get another custody hearing, which I did. I went through the conciliatory office, and I was granted a hearing because I proved that my kids were being neglected. However, the judge that took over was bought by that opposition attorney.
And
he carried on what the other judge had ordered. Even though I was exonerated again of the emotional abuse charge on the second child. And so I really didn't have a prayer. So anyway, going back to the waiting, trying to get that $2,000, I'm so sorry. I bounced around. I try not to. I signed myself in up at the sheriff's office, and we went in to the prison, and I was shackled with the wrists and at the ankles. And I was on benzodiazepines, and you cannot go cold turkey off of these. And what the problem is with prisons everywhere throughout this country is no one is given medication, and they don't care if you die in there, which is a human rights violation. And they just don't care about people in prison. And in these guards, the male day shift guards were nice, but then you get the night shift female guards that are incredibly nasty, and they keep you sleep deprived on purpose. They do it. And I thought, well, I'm going to try to tough this out. But then I started getting sick to my stomach, nausea. I even was having left side back pain, and it was radiating to my jaw, and I was dizzy, and I said to the nurse, you know, do you have any medication for me? Well, no, it won't start until, you know, a couple of days. It's like, I'm going to need this now because I'm going to start going into withdrawals. There's nothing I can do. I don't have it. I, and, you know, until you see the doctor. I said, well, when's that going to be? Well, probably next month. I'm thinking, what? And so
I said,
okay, I'm having chest pain, jaw pain. I think I need to go to the emergency room and get checked out. And the guard there with her Barbie doll hair pulled up in a ponytail looked at me as she leaned over the counter and said, we don't do that here. And I thought, wow, she's a bitch.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's a human rights violation. Okay, I hope I don't die in here is what I was thinking. And in the meantime, they were giving me, would you believe, just Mylanta and some other medication that they give you. We used to give alcoholics. I'm trying to think of the name of it. Either way, that was not working. And what had happened was by Wednesday, by day three, I was completely vomiting everywhere. And I was really afraid I was going to die in there. And the inmates were wonderful, spiritual women that a lot of them shouldn't have been in there to begin with. A lot of them were heroin addicts when they really should have been being dried out and being taken care of. They were not looked after. There were also two women in there that were pregnant at the time as well. And I mean, I know people have committed crimes, but there were other women in there for non-support as well. That should not have, none of us should have been at the taxpayer's expense. If the taxpayer only knew where their money was going. And I had called my dad, that was about Thursday night, and I said, could you get me out of here or I'm coming out in a body bag? And he asked what to do, and I told him how to get the money and over to the courthouse and make sure they fax it, watch him fax it, and then come pick me up. And that happened around 10:30, 11 o'clock, and they announced I could go, and everyone was so kind. They were clapping for me that I could get to leave. They were such nice inmates, really. And I was with the general population, and the thing was, the father was telling my kids I was going to be playing tennis and knitting like Martha Stewart and the Wolf of Wall Street. I'd be playing tennis and having a good time. And here I was with the general population. Yeah, right, yeah. And what I didn't know, I found out later, was my son had an altercation with his father when he found out that I was in prison. Somehow the school found out I was in prison, and they were teasing the kids. The other kids were teasing the kids that their mother was in prison. And I'm telling you, prison is not the answer when a parent cannot pay child support. The judge has to look at why the person – well, first of all, we should totally abolish Title for B, D, and E. Get rid of them. Get rid of all of them.
Yes.
And we should also abolish CPS while we're at it, because they serve no earthly purpose and they're failing miserably anyway. So my son had said that his father whipped a water bottle at him and took him by the back of the neck. And I said, well, did you tell your school counselor? And he said, no. I said, well, I can't help you, because if I call in an indication, they're definitely not going to listen to me. And so he got the strength and the courage to go talk to his counselors at school. They called it in, and really nothing was done. In fact, I called to check up on him, you know, what happened to it. I mean, this kid was beaten up by his father. What happened? They said, well, you know, everyone has different parenting styles.
Oh, for God's sake.
I'm like, okay, so there's different... I'm like, okay, but if I had
done that...
So
it's different parenting styles when he beats up your son, but it wasn't different parenting styles when you took away the Xbox and the bike and prevented boys from spending time in the boudoir.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Right. And the funny part was about the bike, taking away his bike. Well, the thing was, that's when the judge removed the kids, which was in the wintertime. So when I looked back, as I was writing this book, I actually saw when the second indication was made in April. It was made rather it was made the month, like a month after those kids were removed. And that was in the wintertime.
Oh,
how could anyone ride their bike in the winter? I didn't have the kids. How could you make an indication, allegation, when I didn't even have them anyway?
Jeez.
And then you're calling me in the summer about an indication that you've already done in April that I didn't even know about. I'm like, are you doing your jobs, people?
These stories just get... Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. And what it happened was, in the meantime... They get crazier as these stories go along. Is what happens is, I had run out of money, and I'm not paying an attorney. I'm just not going to do it. They don't do anything for you anyway. And they bail out at the last minute because they're afraid to argue in front of a certain judge. And if that isn't hair-raising, because here, you know, someone's threatening to take your kids away and you've got your lame attorney bailing out on a Friday and you've got to be in court on Tuesday, it's just terrible what they put people through. Well, anyway, after prison, 5 months later, I did have a heart attack. And
oh,
it's probably from filing. I was filing my own paperwork to Superior Court as a pro se litigant representing myself. So I was writing a brief and a reproduced record and getting all of that, because you had to have 7 copies sent to the judges and the opposing parties. Okay, great. So I was in my living room, and it's like this heart attack came out of nowhere. And I really didn't think I was having a heart attack, because all good nurses go into denial. No, it's not happening. Can't be happening to me.
Yeah.
And so my husband was working out of town, and I called him, and I said, I took 3 baby aspirin. And he said, well, I think you better call the ambulance. I was like, I don't want to, though. He made me call the ambulance.
Oh, geez.
And I was more embarrassed by that than I was going to prison. The ambulance had all the lights on, and the paramedic was starting the IV, and I said, okay, what are my P waves doing? And he wouldn't answer me. Then I got to the ER, and I got to see all my friends. Yeah. And they really didn't believe I was having a heart attack, because my cholesterols were perfect. And when they did a heart catheterization, they were shocked to find they had to put 3 stents into the LAD. And I was shocked, because it's like, really? I had a heart attack? Now I have to be on medication for the rest of my life? And that answer was yes. You have to be on blood thinners and high blood pressure pills for the rest of your life.
Oh,
and
my God.
I thought, yeah. And the doctor was in shock, and he said, you know what, you were on Klonopin, which was my anti-anxiety medication. And
that's terrible stuff.
But, and he said, it's a good thing you were on that. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, the Klonopin works to eat away at the plaque at the heart. He said, that heart attack would have been far worse if you were not on that medication. And I said, what? You got to be kidding me. And I mean, that's what the cardiologist told me and my family doctor. And now, get this, a month after having my heart attack, we have another support contempt hearing where the judge was informed of my heart attack. And she said she read me the Riot Act. Even my ex-husband came up to the railing and said that I have been refusing to pay my child support. I have every transcript. I could read it to you if you wanted to. It was
shocking. Oh, my God.
But he said I was defiant. Yes, I was defiant in paying my child support, that I couldn't pay because you made me lose my job. And there was a Child Protective Services laws. And doesn't the judge know that? But she was estimating me. You would think. And the thing was, she was estimating me at an earning capacity as a full-time registered nurse when all my career I had been per diem, so I could take the kids to the dentist, their appointments, you name it. Where is she getting this magical figure? And then she decided to she inflated my child support arrears. She deliberately inflated them by $3,000. And then she said to me, she said, "You'll love this. You'll just love this." She gave me a physician verification form, and she said, "You take this to your family doctor, and you have him fill it out saying that you've had a heart attack, and this is the only thing keeping you out of jail today." And so I'm thinking, okay, but I gave you all the information from my cardiologist, and that's not good enough. You've got it from God. You want it now. She had a vendetta out for me. Even my counselor said she also believed it was a vendetta. This judge has something. She's out to get you, and she's not stopping. So I ran right over to my family doctor, and he knew what they were doing to me, and he gladly filled it out. I made a copy, and the next morning I took it right over to that judge's office, and I had a nice talk to her with her secretary about heart attacks. And then I left, and an order came back that she was going to leave me alone. Well, about a month later, Superior Court ruled. We got the ruling about 2 days after Christmas. And my husband was home. He got the mail, and he said, "Here's a big packet from Superior Court." And I thought, oh, dear God, I probably lost this one. And I opened it up, and it said, "We vacate and remand." And I said, "Oh, my God, we won, but we kind of lost." And my husband said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Wait a minute. We kind of won, so could you hold my hand while I jump on the couch?" He goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, remember when Tom Cruise was really happy and on Oprah he jumped on the couch because he was so happy? I want to know what that feels like. So could you?" And my balance was off, so he held my hand while I jumped on the couch because I was very happy that, yes, we did win. That was a magnificent win. And he said, "Well, what does it mean, though?" After I got off the couch, he said, "What does it remand mean?" And I said, "Well, remand means it has to go back down to Judge Speer, and she has to re-rule on her child support ruling. I don't know what I'm going to do because after this heart attack, I don't know if I can handle her." And so luckily, my counselor said she knew of a Supreme Court lawyer. Why don't you give her a call? I said, "Well, I guess I'm going to have to." And luckily, she didn't cost any more than anybody else, even with that title, thank God. And I had a long meeting with her, and she was so kind. And she said, "None of this should have happened." She said, "I wish I would have known you a year and a half ago." She said, "You should never have gone to prison. None of this ever should have happened. And where are his W-2s? I said, "Well, when you're representing yourself, they're really not giving you what, plus he had his foot in the door, so I wasn't going to get all this information." And she also told me my docket was missing a lot of information as well. So, but she did, when I did meet her, she did come in the room and she was smiling and giggling, and she said, "You really pissed off that judge." And I said, "Oh, yeah?" She said, "Yeah, you winning in Superior Court really pissed her off. She's pissed." I said, "Okay, so what do we do now?" And she, too bad. And so she was great. She said, "I'm going to represent you, and I have all your information." And she made copies of the stuff I brought her. And on a snowy day, she had to drive 2 hours because she was from outside of the city, which is what people should do, is go find a lawyer outside of the city who is not connected to who knows who and friends with friends with friends. And she stood there. It was very miraculous because I was leaning over the bar because what had happened was by the time she was representing me, I had to have another heart catheterization because I was still having really bad chest pain. And he wanted to double check to make sure the stents were open, which they were, thank God, but probably was anxiety. But I'm leaning over the rail and she's arguing, and every time the opposing attorney opened his mouth, he was overruled. And we were sustained all the time. And my attorney said something, and she said to the judge, Judge Spear, you have to abide by what the Superior Court ruled. And she talked to her like that. And I thought, wow, that's awesome.
Wow. Now, what did the judge do when she said that?
Well, she just kept her head down, like when you yell at a dog, the dog has his head down the whole time. She had her head down the whole time. She wouldn't look at anybody. Probably because she was embarrassed we won, or at least I won. And the opposing attorney said, I can't believe it. This opposing attorney has been so unethical and nasty the whole time. I have, for instance, I have a lazy eye, and he had made fun of me in a child support conference.
Oh, my God.
He made fun of my eyes. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is how low he'll go. I even wrote, in fact, I complained to, not the bar, I complained to the Supreme Court Disciplinary Board. And apparently that's still not unethical enough to get him disbarred. I don't know what it takes to get somebody disbarred, but they can do whatever they want, and they will not disbar these people. And,
that's right.
Yeah, and I just couldn't believe someone can treat someone like that and also call me mentally ill. It's like, you're not a psychologist. Why would you call me mentally? If I was mentally ill, how did I hold a nursing career for 23 years? You just don't stand around and call people mentally ill. And when it happened, the outcome, I said to my attorney, in fact, during the hearing, I went to object, and she grabbed my hand like, she's running the show, not me. And and she objected, and his attorney said, well, Your Honor, she has an excellent track record at the Superior Court. She's had 2 wins out of 3. And I'm looking at him like, you're absolutely crazy. I just looked at him like, wow. I had no respect for him. And I said to my attorney, the W-2. So my attorney said to the judge, we need to look at the ex's W-2. Then the judge goes, you two get up here. And she's kind of a chirper. You two get up here. So the two attorneys went up and talked, and the bailiff was kind. He got me a chair. I got to sit down while they were up there a while. And his attorney said, we need to see your W-2. And finally, we got to find out what he actually really made. And it was over $100,000 a year. It was well over $100,000 a year. And the thing was, that's why I put why taking the kids was not enough. Dismantling family court corruption, why taking the kids was not enough. This was all about money. He couldn't get enough of it. And he thought by making me lose my career, he thought he could collect close to $1,000 a month in child support. Which, how could that happen when we had the Child Protective Services laws preventing me from working? And here I endured duress, stress, and going to prison and putting the children through this as well. For what?
How long, Marianne, how long were you in prison?
Well, I hate to say it. I'm embarrassed to say I only made it 5 days, but I had to have that medication or I was going to, I was afraid of going into convulsions and not being able to breathe and die on top of having chest pain.
Right.
I thought I was going to die in there. And 2 years later, was it 2 years later? 17. Actually, a year later, a gentleman did die in that very same prison of an asthma attack.
Wow.
They never really made a phone call in time for him, but they don't care. And what the outcome was with this case was she graciously, this Judge Spiros, God, what a loser. She took my arrears of $15,000, which should never have happened to begin with, because my attorney really wanted to wash everything away, is what she really was her intention. But she said she does not know how this judge is going to roll, but let's hope for the best. But she took the $15,000 and lowered it to $11,000. Wasn't that gracious of
her? Oh, bless her black heart. Then, wow.
Yes. And then she took the child support from $1,000 and put it down to $108 a month.
Oh.
However, bear in mind, there's Title 4D, so attach another $20 to $30 to that. And
mm-hmm.
as far as the arrears, she was only making me pay $10 a month on the arrears, which infuriated the ex. He was highly infuriated that I was only paying $10 a month on the arrears.
Oh, game's
poor baby. Yeah, game was something over. And, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, looking back on all of this mess and how the judge mistreated my parents even in the courtroom before he died. He made my mother was 80 at the time. He made her come up and he said, well, we're going to do supervised visits and you're going to be one of the supervisors. And the other grandfather, he's going to be another supervisor. Like, and my poor mother stood there and said, Your Honor, she doesn't need supervised visits. As far as I'm concerned, that judge put her into an early grave.
Yeah.
And here when he passed, everyone was, you know, giving him undulating praises. And we were just like sick to our stomach that they thought so highly of him. They weren't in the courtroom with him. No one saw him in action. And that's why I believe there should be tamper-proof mics and video cameras in all the courtrooms monitoring the judge.
I agree.
With a panel.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That should be that way. Yes.
Yes, with a panel of... Oh, I'm so sorry. With a panel of two to three individuals evaluating his ruling. And there should also be psychological evaluations for all judges every 2 years, and they should also be rotated. And let's bear in mind, when we elect them, they should only have 4 years in, and then they can go find some other job to do.
Yes.
I think a judge should be in a position in there for 10 years. They're getting burned out.
I agree.
They're getting nasty. And... They're taking it out on the public. They should not be in there for 10 years. And they should not be funding each other's kids' campaigns for becoming judges. In fact, if your father's a judge, I don't think you should be allowed to be a judge.
I agree.
How about that?
There you go.
How about that? If your daddy or mommy is a judge, you can be an attorney. That's fine. But you're never going to be a judge.
Mm-hmm.
And
and it is a good old boys club.
Right. And they cannot just sit there and listen to a caseworker. I really get resentful when people say, well, it was a social worker that took my kids away. No, they're caseworkers. They don't even have a degree to even make that, thing on you.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah.
The judge should not be listening to a caseworker say, yes, she treats those kids horrible. They should be removed. No, not at all. And what also, granted, the judge made me get a psychological evaluation, I'm sorry. Even the doctor of psychology came in to testify for me, and he did an excellent job shutting them down, but that still was not good enough. Like I said, the opposing attorney and the judge were in collusion together. We never saw the psychological evaluation on the ex because he had it done by his own psychologist who worked for CPS.
Oh, darn.
So they were.
What a
surprise. So, I mean, and I'm sure it was all lollipops, rainbows, and unicorns. And what the co-parent counselor said when she had told my previous attorney that he's volatile, I would like to see her report. I don't have that report. And that should have been, she should have immediately called the judge then. She should have immediately made phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
So she dropped the ball. The psychologists that that were talking to my kids dropped the ball because, see, we're supposed to be doing family counseling. The ex would set those appointments up on the days I didn't have the kids, and he would not tell me when they were. So how can there be family counseling when the whole family isn't there?
Yeah. Wow.
And there's no accountability. See, this is just it. You know, making these false accusations, people have got to give their names, hold people accountable, hold these judges accountable by watching them, monitoring them with video cameras, because they obviously cannot behave themselves. And they have also got to abolish CPS. I have waited, and I'm hoping that will happen, that they will just somehow go away. You know, everyone wants them to go away. I notice on Facebook there's a massive followings of people that are wanting CPS abolished.
Well, and you know, Marianne, you're seeing movement where they're starting to arrest these CPS workers. It's coming apart. It's slow, but they still need to get rid of this whole damn program. This thing is an abomination. You know.
Oh, exactly. In fact, what I saw on, this is horrible, on Facebook was these caseworkers decided to get hot pink T-shirts made that said, in the back, do you know where your children are? On the front, it said, professional kidnappers. And eight of those, I guess, got fired.
Darn.
Or did they get promoted? See, this is what I wondered. They're telling us they got fired, but did they? I really want proof.
Yeah.
Because I want them fired without unemployment. How about that? If I couldn't get my unemployment based on a lie, they shouldn't get theirs either. And
there you go.
What I have also tried to do and was working on was trying to educate these judges on personality disorders such as narcissism, borderline personality disorder, and bipolar disorder. And I thought, you know, maybe that could be included in a CEU for their continuing education courses along with parental alienation. So I sent out a letter of intent to a judge, and he flat out refused to speak with me.
Oh.
And I'm going to try some more judges. I'm going to try, but I don't know. People are telling me that they're not going to bother with you, and they know it all anyway, and they don't care about parental alienation.
No, they don't. I'd have to agree with that. This is too prolific. It's too well known, and the system doesn't change. They're using these kids as a commodity. They're buying, selling, and trading them. That Title IV-D is foster care, most especially, and they get big money for snatching those kids. And I read recently where I think it was the FBI determined that the majority of children that are trafficked for sex come out of foster care. What a surprise.
Right.
And, you know, it just, go ahead.
Right. And I noticed, I've talked to parents, I've been trying to help people and talk, you know, some people contact me through my website, dismantlingfamilycourtcorruption.com. They'll write me letters and, you know, I'll talk with them, you know, even on the phone. And what I've been noticing is there have been a lot of people that have gone through foster care that are targets. When they go to have kids, they go, CPS goes after those people that have had kids that have been in foster care.
Yes.
And that's frightening.
Yep. It is. It is.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, you wonder how far all this is going to go, Marianne. And unfortunately, it doesn't show any signs of abating. And like you say, with the people that supposedly got fired, you don't know if they actually got fired or they got promoted in federal agencies. When they say, oh, somebody was relieved of their position, doesn't mean they lost their job. It means they got a new one. And they'll keep those people to keep the program going, no matter how abhorrent they are. Now, aside from all of this, you are looking at Well, somebody's looking at you to make a movie about this. Correct?
Oh, yes. Yes. I was shocked. Yes. My publisher put the book out in March 25th, and within 3 weeks, Canadian producer James Russell of Manx Motion Picture Studios Incorporated up in Canada approached me and wanted the book rights to make a film out of this book. And I said, why not? You know, hopefully this can be done. And because he wants to approach it with an Aaron Brockovich style.
Right.
Because when they made Aaron Brockovich, everyone suddenly got concerned over the drinking water. And
mm-hmm.
then everyone starts drinking bottled water. Okay. So if we were able to make a film about family court and its corruption and seeing a parent having their children taken away for just based on collusion and lies, I think it would wake up society because they would be a sitting duck. People don't realize they're sitting ducks. I had no idea this was going to happen to me. And what happened to me can happen to anyone. And I hope
Marianne,
for...
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, honey. Finish your statement.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just hope for society's sake, this film can be made, that they can be warned and know what to do if something weird should happen like that to them.
Right. Well, and that's the thing with these families, individuals, and others. They all think that says, well, this happened to somebody else, and they will cling to the idea, well, it's an isolated incident. Well, I never heard of it before. Well, you must have done something wrong, or they wouldn't have done that to you. No, no, none of that's true. And full Marianne, who will scream the loudest when this crap lands on their doorstep. And it will land on your doorstep. The more you ignore it, the more vulnerable you become. And nobody is safe from this stuff. If they haven't gotten you yet, don't wait. Don't worry. It is just in your turn yet. But they are tearing families. I've heard all this stuff for years about how gay people and Muslims and this one and that one was tearing the traditional family apart. The only person or entity with the power to do that is our own government. And it's doing a fine job. And we have families absolutely devastated by what passes for what child welfare in these courts. The children are never an issue, only so much as what are they worth in this system? How much money can we make off of them? Which of the parents can we drain? Maybe we can get both of them. But that's what it's all about, child support. It's one of the biggest scams running. It's an cash incentivized program. They take 25% of anything you do pay just for servicing your account. And if you're paying it on time, that's what they take. But they get a dollar-for-dollar matching fund directly deposited into your state treasury with no strings attached. If it is an arrearage where you're back a while and you pay up all your back stuff, then they get $2 for every dollar you paid in child support, right straight into the general fund, no strings attached. On a purge where somebody gets way, way behind and they put you in prison, you can't possibly pay it back until somebody steps up and posts that money, they get $3 for every dollar collected. But see, you're now in a catch-22 system. You can't get out and work, so you can't pay the money, but the bill keeps ringing up. So you can't outrun that bill. You will never, never get out. They're making money off
you.
Yes. Yes. Very well put. It is an extortion. And they're, again, using your children to do it. I just think it's disgraceful. The idea that you actually stressed so bad you had a heart attack. When you went to this Superior Court, I'm interested in that. When you went to that, when they went through all of this case and everything, Marianne, what was their response to you on this? Did they say anything at all?
Well, the thing that was the bummer was when I filed it and a couple weeks later I got a letter saying that there are too many cases We don't want any attorneys coming into the Superior Court. We're just going to read briefs. And I was so mad because I thought, I just want to have my say. But then I thought, well, maybe mm-hmm. God wants me to shut up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah.
So I just thought, oh, I hope they know what they're doing. And it was like I said, right after Christmas. So maybe, you know, that was God giving me my Christmas
yeah.
present 2 days late. And it was the best
yeah.
gift ever. And I had to put it in God's hands, whether I liked it or not. I couldn't control
right.
the situation. And because I had argued child support before in front of those judges, and the female judge was incredibly mean. She was very nasty. Why
yeah.
can't you pay your child support? And I was here thinking to myself, well, this is what happened. And it's like, can't you understand what happened? You know, child protective services laws. I mean, Commonwealth versus Sandusky. I mean, we got case law. I mean, they don't care what the case law is.
No.
They don't care. And because I saw another gentleman argue before I did, and he was working a job while going to college, and the job that he had, his income went up and down. It depended on the sales that he made. And these judges didn't care that if you had a bad month, you know, they were,
yeah.
they just didn't care. They wanted that money coming in. And my friend had come with me because she was fascinated by all this stuff. And she said, I think he lost his case. I said, I think he did too. It's too bad. And then when I was done arguing, she says, I think you lost your case. I said, I think I did too, because she was very nasty.
Yeah.
And but then I tried again. See, I kept coming back. And I think as
yeah.
a pro se representing yourself, if you keep coming back, I think they're going to get sick of you pretty quick. So
yeah.
I think they're going to throw you a win. So you just stop coming back.
Yeah.
And
yeah, there you go.
And I think there's minor victories. People, I mean, my father had said, well, you know what they say about pro ses, which means you're crazy. It's like,
yeah.
well, I don't have a choice. There's no money. There's just no money to
right.
throw around. And I can't put any more stress on my husband, who is taking jobs out of town to make more money to make up for my lost income. So.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Did your marriage survive all this?
Well, luckily for our marriage, it did survive. It survived because he worked out of town, and we
uh-huh.
would talk. He was working 12-hour days, so he would call me. We would talk for 15 minutes, like this happened, that happened, you know, and we'd have a nice
yeah.
conversation and good night, I love you. And the key to keeping it together is to discuss court for maybe 5-10 minutes. This is what happened. Okay, enough of that. How was your day? Oh, it's
yes.
snowing here. Change the subject. Because if you continuously
yeah.
give attention to this negative force, you're going to destroy your relationships. Not just with
yes,
the spouse,
very good advice.
But, yeah,
yep.
with friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and besides,
yeah.
some of your friends aren't going to get it. Some of your friends are going to get it. You know, if they understand
mm-hmm.
what's going on, I mean, I have very close friends that didn't mind me talking about it for, say, 45 minutes. I have very good friends that were saying, yeah, I'll be a witness when you do this, when I was wanting to do another custody trial. They wanted to be witnesses, and I had a great show of force, but that judge, he wouldn't listen. He wanted to continue on with the deceased judge's intentions.
Oh my God.
What
a nightmare. I hope they make that movie, girl. I sincerely hope they make that movie. If they do, we will promote the hell out of it. We sure will.
And
I just, these horror stories just keep coming. May I ask, were you ever able, Marianne, to go back to work as a nurse?
No. Right now I'm on Social Security disability. I get winded really quickly. As far as what I do is, I mean, other than trying to help people, talk to people, doing podcasts,
mm-hmm.
I like to, you know, maybe I'm a painter and I write poetry.
Me too.
Obviously, I wrote this book.
Yeah.
And I also have like a horse lesson, maybe once a week or maybe twice a month. You know, if it's too hot, I'm not doing anything because it just takes too much out of me. And we're not doing anything wildly crazy on the horse anyway, but it helps reduce the stress level.
Yes.
Because I have taken this a step further because I'm trying to hold individuals accountable, and I have a case in the Third District Appeals Court of Appeals. So we'll see how this goes. I'm sure it won't go anywhere. I have no faith.
Well,
I'm sorry, and people being held accountable, but we'll see. But it's worth a shot because I have to do it for other people. If I just let it slip through my fingers.
I know when I had my granddaughters, and I raised two of my granddaughters, and had to deal with social service and child support, just an absolute nightmare. And I had walked into that office. I had never dealt with these people before. And one day, because I had gotten a summons to be down there, and I just in time to hear the child support worker tell the social worker, when she gets here, I'm going to lay into her. She said, if it's the last thing I do, she said, I'm going to her up. And I said, you wouldn't be talking about me, would you? And she about dropped through the floor. And but these people are vicious. And she said, you can't do anything anyway. I'm protected. I have immunity. I said, au contraire, sweetie, you need a new attorney. The agency has immunity. And as long as you act within the capacity of your job and its description, you have limited immunity. But see, you just stepped outside it in a big way, so you have none. Ask your attorney about that.
Wow.
And she got mad and ran out of the room. But they pulled all kind of – I'm going to tell you, Marianne, over a two-month period, they diverted over $18,000 worth of child support payments that my son made. We never got. And we never saw that money. And during that time, they tried to arrest him, tried to put him in jail, tried to drag him into court, and here he had papers from the state saying he had paid everything on time fully, and we with where that money went, I couldn't tell you. Like I say, we never saw it. We went for 2 years and 2 months with no support. Yeah.
I think it goes back into the courthouses. I think it goes back into
it goes somewhere.
Pockets. Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. It's going somewhere, but it gets lost in cyberspace, and too bad for you. And
right.
So I don't know, but we've got just a few minutes left here. I want to thank you for coming on. This has just been an excellent hour and a half. You did a good job of relaying what you have been through and what you had to endure. I sincerely hope they follow up on making a movie out of this. This would be a blockbuster. I'm telling you it would. And I want to follow up with you in maybe about a month, Marianne, and see where everything is. Get you back on, and let's see where we're at on it then. If you have news to report, we'll do that if you're up for it.
Oh, sure. That would be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
And like I say, everybody, her book is Dismantling Family Court Corruption, Why Taking the Kids Was Not Enough. You can get it on Amazon. There's a live link to Amazon in the show promo. You can go there. Now, she also has a site called DismantlingFamilyCourtCorruption.com. And you can go there, and it gives you the background, what she's doing, everything about her, just everything you want to know, basically what we talked about tonight. And I would hope you would go and at least visit and see what she's got going on there. Marianne, we've got, like I say, just a few minutes. Is there anything else you want to add in closing?
Oh, well, I was just going to say, I'm sorry if I got off track as we were talking. I'm trying to keep everything in order as it all happened. Oh, thank you. It's just something that you don't ever think could happen to you. And what people have got to realize that you may think you have a happy family, and one minute your whole life can be the rug pulled right out from underneath you. and you can lose your career. Yeah. And this is also happening to doctors, nurses, professionals. And I know it's happening. They definitely go after poor people with no problem. And those people are...
Because they're the most vulnerable, the easiest to beat.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And also, you know, veterans as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, wow. Okay, we need to follow up on this. And if anything comes your way you think needs exposing, let us know. We'll get you on air. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. And no, I did not take any phone calls. I wanted Marianne to be able to speak and tell this story. It was complicated, and I didn't want her interrupted. That's why I didn't take any phone calls. So if you want to be mad at somebody, be mad at me. And be nothing new. And we'll be back tomorrow night with me and Kaz. And we'll have Carla Fable on about the illegal guardianship that taking place in her family. And... oh, Lord, it just goes on and on. But we'll talk to you then. Again, a reminder, these shows are brought to you in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit, taking place annually in Washington, D.C., always at the end of July. When they used to celebrate National Whistleblowers Day, they turned it into this huge, huge event. And it is huge. So if you can make it out there this next year, if they haven't killed us all with this faked-up virus... you ought to come. A lot of people to meet, a lot of things to hear, a lot of things to see. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We truly appreciate it, Marianne. Thank you most of all. This was a really, really good interview. And
thank you so much.
I'll help promote your book and everything else. We'll get you out there. And everybody, like I say, we'll be back tomorrow night. And with that, we'll say good night, everyone. Good night.
Good night. Thank you so much.